Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening. My next guest is Jeff Kubiak. Jeff taught for 10 years as an elementary school teacher in grades 4, 5, and 6, and has 8 years of administrative experience. Jeff strives to connect with students by bringing real-world experiences to them, getting to know their names, engaging in lessons and play, and becoming a part of the learning process with them. He's always looked at education from a different lens, from someone who hated and struggled with school. Jeff vows to always do his best to help increase opportunities for all students to feel heard, noticed, celebrated, challenged, and safe. Being a former world-class swimmer and coach, Jeff looked at education from perspectives that others don't. Knowing what it takes to fail, struggle, win, and go through the daily challenges that we all face, look at the 88 Olympic trials in swimming. Jeff swam the 200 breaststroke. Jeff is based in Northern California near Sacramento. Jeff loves children's literature and wrote One Drop of Kindness, which is his first published children's book. He hopes to continue writing books that bring about inspiring others to help make our world a better place. Welcome to the podcast, Jeff.
Thank you. How are you doing, Dana?
Great, great. Well, thanks for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast. I always start out with the same question for all my guests. Tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and how you managed to fall out of that situation.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, you know, I think when we use that term in the trenches, it can be like, you know, we're in the battle, fighting the war, or you have fallen into a deep hole and you can't get out, right? Like a self-struggle. But, you know, I think one of my biggest trench moments, you know, was way back when I was, you know, in my 20s is when I missed the Olympic team by 1200s. Kind of going in, it was something that I knew I was going to do. And I had trained hard. Everything had fallen in place. But, you know, the lovely thing about most athletics is that you have to be on at that time, at that specific place, and it's got to be magic. It's not what you did yesterday or what you think you're going to do tomorrow. And it was definitely humbling, but at the same time, it kind of put me in a spin of like, wow, well, what next? And even though I continued swimming for a couple more years, it was not really until I started coaching that I found like my next real energetic passion.
So how did you take your experience from being so close to getting into the Olympics into coaching your students and how, you know, helping them become better athletes, but also knowing that, like you pointed out, that there could be a day where maybe all the stars aren't aligned for you to win?
You know, I think, you know, looking back now, you know, things don't go as we plan. And regardless of how meticulous and organized you are, you kind of have to see what life brings you and where you are putting life. And for that, you know, just trying to remind people that staying positive, it's okay to have some short bursts of frustration, but we have to, you know, I think reflection and growth are over talked about, but underutilized, because how much, when you were, you know, in the classroom or as I was a teacher or a coach or whatever, oh, you know, you gotta learn from your mistakes and grow from it. It was like, well how? Teach me how to do that. Like, don't just say that. It's a huge life skill that I think we don't really delve into enough.
And how did being a swimming coach then lead you into wanting to teach? And were you teaching at the same time that you were coaching, or did you start taking college courses in education when you were a competitive swimmer? Kind of Tell me the timeline for that and how your coaching experience led you to become a better teacher.
Yeah, I had gotten my credential early on, but I didn't really start thinking about it. I had started coaching, then I went back and got my teaching credential, and then I did both hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Because really what you're doing is you're mentoring, you're modeling, you're teaching. It's just a different medium. One is the water, one is in a classroom or on a playground, right? And so you're using a lot of the similar skills, a lot of the same techniques, but you just have to base it differently because, you know, all, teaching is very much individualized, and that's the same as coaching. Like every child's different and you have to build a relationship or to be able to see how they think and do and act to be able to hopefully get a good positive message across to that person so that they understand how they're going to change or manipulate something to learn it better.
Mm-hmm. So you wrote your first book, One Drop of Kindness. It came out in May of 19. We'll talk a little bit about the work that you had, you've done with that book with schools in a little bit, but I wanted to focus a little bit of our conversation on your next book. Tell me what it's called, when it's set to a release, and how you collected ideas and stories for that book.
Yeah, thank you. It's called It's Me, and it's it'll be launched November 15th. Very excited about it. You know, the work has come from being around a lot of different people and groups over the years. And, you know, especially the last few years when we have a lot of civil unrest and racial bias and unrest going on. And, you know, there's too many groups in our society that are marginalized and oppressed. And with the extreme amount of racism you see someplace, and then the prejudice and bias and discrimination, it's not right. And so we have kids facing these situations at a young age. And I took experiences from the classroom and from people I knew. And I gathered real stories and real vignettes from people that were in some of the groups that look and don't want to be defined by perhaps, you know, spending your day in a wheelchair or, you know, having tics from Tourette's or being a second language learner or being a Muslim American because people think you're a terrorist or, mm-hmm. you know, being a fantastically amazing Black boy who's a great athlete, right? Like how stereotypical is that? But mm-hmm. to know the work and struggle they have to put in the academics too. And so these are real stories from real people, and hopefully it'll give, you know, a deeper look into ditching the label and looking at the importance of embracing different groups and trying to remove some of our biases and prejudice and getting us to become anti-bias, anti-racist, anti-discriminatory, and things like that. So it's, I'm really excited about it.
Mm-hmm. And you told me a little bit about how some of these stories were then collected with students that you had. You know, you had a student, you talked about Mia, about a powerful vignette that you wrote about her. Was that a student that you had in the elementary level?
So Mia Walsh, she wrote her own vignette. And no, I was connected with Mia via someone else that I knew, but Mia was a senior in high school and she identified as an LGBTQ and she wrote this beautifully powerful vignette that, you know what, just because I identify with someone that likes females doesn't mean I can't be your friend or to be excluded. And it's lovely. And she now is a freshman at the Ohio University, but it was so cool getting to know her and understand her point of view and just seeing like, you know, this is a big risk and a courageous act that this girl took. And I was proud to, you know, be a part of it and have it in the book.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about how you've worked with schools and spoken at conferences and led professional development, maybe mostly prior to the pandemic, but also how you then brought your book, One Drop of Kindness, into schools and, you know, any assemblies, and how those schools then received it. Was it mostly elementary or was it also secondary as well?
Yeah, you know, One Drop of Kindness came from years of going to different schools and seeing different people. I struggled as a kid in school. And then I was kind of picked on, and then I became a bully, and I wasn't kind to people until sixth grade. Magical snowflake called Mrs. Sherry entered my life. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can really feel the culture of a school the minute you step on campus.
Yeah.
You really can feel it. It's, if there's kindness and compassion and empathy embedded in it, you can see it on the faces. And but if there isn't, you can see that as well. And people are, you know, they're frustrated and they're littering and they're pushing and they're yelling. And it's just, it's crazy. And so trying to help people remember that we really do have kindness embedded in us somewhere, and it just takes someone else to get it out. And there's too many people at schools and in life that are just not given a chance to explain their story or to kind of learn how to become kind. And so that led to working with different schools around the country and sharing my messages via Zoom because we went to pandemic. But it's just really, it's a message. And you know, I'm not into writing books because I'm going to make $1 million, because I'm certainly not, but I love spreading kind messages, but also just, you know, things that help us think and perhaps challenge our perspective and our mantra, right? And so if I can get a couple of kids at a school to start a kindness club or to think differently and to connect with someone they haven't before, maybe they're going to change the world or do things better, and that's going to become a real ripple effect. And I know that's a cliche thing to say, but it really, to me, it holds true, and it's been validated over and over again.
And what do you see as your next step in your book coming out pretty soon, and how you would like to you know, promote the book? How would you would like to have schools embrace that? And is it mostly then for the elementary level, or is it something that would also be appropriate for middle schoolers and high schoolers to read?
Well, it's geared toward upper elementary through high school, because the vignettes are basically from 10 years old to 18 year old, and there's some adults too. But I want it to be something that kids in these groups who have been marginalized or prejudiced against go, wow, you know, that's me. I totally identify with that. And look at this person, because they talk about, you know, it's them. This is what people see, but this is really who I am. And so don't judge me and try to validate me by a label. And so I want it to become a talking point. And for kids or people that don't recognize others as much and don't embrace them, for them to maybe say, hey, wow, Dana, can you tell me more about your experience with X? Because I don't understand it. And that's why, you know, I kind of laughed at you and put you down, because I really don't have an idea and I'm uncomfortable. Help me understand. So more talking points, more conversations, things like that.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a book that's really needed in today's climate, like you said, with social unrest, but also just learning about stories of these people that you collected for the book, and how, you know, we're starting this book with the upper elementary grades, and helping them better understand any differences, whether it's in a school that is pretty homogeneous or a school that has multiple cultures represented. I think, and I hope definitely that it will become a staple in classrooms for teachers to use as it comes out. Out of everything we discussed today on the podcast, what's one thing in particular you'd like listeners to remember?
To see people. Mm-hmm. And what that is just that, you know, you're really seeing inside and more than their story or their outside, and giving people a chance, because it's too often that we misjudge, prejudge, and put them in a silo because of something, either my bias that I grew up with, or because I don't know or understand, or something looks so different. So to see people is to get to understand, to know, and then hopefully not just be okay with it, but actually embrace the differences.
Yeah. I think that's so great to end with, right? Embracing people's differences.
Yes.
Where can people find you online and connect with you?
My website is jeffkubiak.com. Feel free to reach out and collaborate. I love to do, you know, free book chats and Zoom stuff online. At Jeffrey Kubiak on Twitter, Jeff Kubiak author on Instagram, and my books are both available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your typical outlets. And yeah, thanks for helping me spread the good word, Dan. I appreciate being here.
Well, thanks so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast. Have a great rest of your day.
Likewise. Thank you so much.